Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, I think there's a lot of stories coming out of this win in Pittsburgh, but I think one of the bigger ones is the run game with LeGarrette Blount. They needed it.
Yeah, no question. They balanced out the offense. Now, some people might have thought it was too balanced early on, and maybe that sort of kept the scoring down.
Would one of those be you?
Yeah, that'd be you.
And
maybe both of us. But LeGarrette Blount, in my opinion, his best game of the season, you know, highest yards, but more importantly, I just thought he ran well.
Yeah.
It was like he picked the right time to bounce out, and there would be something there when he bounced out. I thought he maximized the yardage that was available on the ground, and they needed it, you know, to end up winning the game.
Yeah, and they needed it because I think this was a case of an underdog team at home rising up and, you know, getting up for a game where they were clearly outmanned, but they were they played well, the Steelers. And, you know, we've seen the Patriots do that in similar situations when, you know, because of injuries or whatever the case may be, that, you know, they went into a game undermanned and they came out either with the win or competing really well. I think that's the case with the Steelers. I think they really rose up for this game and played as well as they could play under the conditions they were in.
I give Pittsburgh credit for giving that kind of an effort and for not just mailing it in. But I think this had more to do with what the Patriots didn't do offensively than what Pittsburgh made them do, because I just felt like it was an uncharacteristic sloppy performance. Right from the very first offensive snap, Chris Hogan catches a short pass and fumbles. I thought that set a tone. But I give Blount a lot of credit because even though they weren't at their best, he made sure that Pittsburgh paid for playing, you know, the soft, you know, two deep safeties with the sub packages on the field. And if you can't run against that, now you're really going to be in trouble. And Blount made sure that that wasn't the case. They continue to move the ball. They got enough points. And they scored four touchdowns. That's going to win most games and certainly was more than enough to beat a backup quarterback.
And I thought this was a game where it's maybe the most emphasis on the game plans, criticism of the game plans coming out of a win and a two-score win that you'll ever see. Offensively, did they run too much? Did they not challenge, which is a bad...
Well, what are the criticisms you've heard?
Well, that, offensively, I was getting to that. You don't need to interrupt.
Okay.
Offensively, did you not challenge a bad pass defense enough, right? That you could run on them, but they're a terrible pass defense that was undermanned, and you didn't go after them enough, maybe. And then defensively, were you too soft? Is it too much bend but don't break? Do we need to try to get more pressure on a backup quarterback, inexperienced quarterback? And yet, you look at it, and it's a road win in Pittsburgh by two scores.
Yeah, and offensively, that's what I was talking about, where I didn't think they were quite as sharp. You know, like Andy said, you know, did you not pass the ball enough? And, well, number one, I thought they had some trouble protecting Tom Brady, even though they didn't blitz him at all. Number two, I thought they had some bad drops in addition to the Chris Hogan fumble, which I thought, you know, was set a really bad sort of tone to the game. But despite all that, you got control of the game at 14-0, and then you had those drops that I mentioned. The one by Bolden, I thought, was really big. 14-7 lead. That was going to be an easy third down conversion, and all of a sudden, it's 3-and-out. Pittsburgh has all kinds of life, and before you know it, they're back in the football game. So this one, to me, I really don't put a whole lot of concern, because I think offensively, the Patriots have shown they're going to be explosive. They're going to be able to get the ball downfield. And oh, by the way, once again, when you need a play, it was Gronk coming through, because he can't be stopped. You can't take him out completely. A bad game for Gronk is four catches for 93 yards. Right.
68th touchdown. You know what that means?
That means next week.
Oh, I was just going to say he tied the franchise record.
Okay.
I wasn't alluding to anything.
Well, speaking of, you know, you can't take him out of the game completely, I think the same could be said of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And
yep.
I think we saw that. You know, they had their yards. But I think the Patriots did a good job, again, limiting them. And I think that's one of the reasons you saw them play the way they did on defense anyway, because they just weren't going to let Antonio Brown beat them. That was, and neither one of those guys found the end zone.
And he got his, though. He was over 100 yards.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought it was a real interesting matchup for the second year in a row for Malcolm Butler, a Pro Bowl corner against maybe the best receiver in football, who's a quick playmaker. He can make you look bad short or long. He can do it all over the field. He had a big one, a 51-yarder. Butler made the play in the end zone on an underthrown ball for the interception to make sure the Hogan turnover didn't turn into points for the Steelers, and the red zone was huge, stopping them. But I thought Butler was competitive, really competitive, on a day when, yes, he allowed the other guy to get 100 yards. But I'm not sure if you didn't have Butler that Brown wouldn't have gone off. You know, I thought you sort of kept him from beating you, which was enough on this day.
Yeah, and I thought another guy on defense that I think was the player of the game for the Patriots was Chung, Patrick Chung. I think both in coverage and against the run, I think he contributed. It was all over the field.
Yeah, he was a big part of that run defense, and I'd give a lot of credit to Malcolm Brown and Alan Branch because they were a little bit thin at that spot. The defensive tackles, Hamilton was out, Valentine was out, so you didn't have that ability to rotate that they've had the last few weeks. Those guys played a ton of snaps, and Bell is excellent. I mean, Andy and I were joking during the game, when a guy sort of pitter-patters behind the line of scrimmage and he doesn't get any yards,
right,
he's got to hit the hole. But when he does it, and he does it effectively like Bell does, what a patient runner he is.
Exactly.
And he's a patient runner.
He's a patient runner because
he
found a way to get 4 and 5 yards.
He doesn't bang right away. He's got great vision and, like you said, patience.
Great jump cuts, great sidesteps in the hole. In small spaces, his ability to change direction. He had that one drive at the end of the first half where he caught a couple of passes that hurt you. But beyond that, I thought they did a great job on what I think is maybe the best all-around back in football.
Absolutely. Well, it's good that the Patriots won, because had they not, this would have been even a bigger game going into Buffalo.
Or, because Rex has already said, I don't know how this could be a bigger game. I do. If you took care of business in Miami and beat a team you should beat in Miami, this game this week would be for the division crown. But right, you didn't, so it isn't.
And once again, Rex makes a statement and no one holds him to it and has the rebuttal.
You That's, just did.
That would have been, yeah, but.
You just did. You
I
just told
there.
Him it wasn't as big a game.
Yeah, he didn't hear me. That's the problem. You know, he says these things, and no one says anything back to him to show him how stupid he is.
Okay, but beyond that, the bigger issue is he could be or should be without LeSean McCoy because he played last week, got more banged up, and that's huge for the Patriots.
And then, you know, coming out of the game, you know, we do have to talk about it. Stephen Gostkowski, you know, social media was
Fans, not happy, all of Twitter
with what's going on with Gostkowski. And, you know, you have to be real about it. Another extra point miss.
2 weeks in a row, an extra point for a guy who went a decade,
and
basically.
Even he says after the game, listen, right now I stink.
And
those are his words.
I think everyone would agree with him. But the question isn't, do you stink? Everybody knows you stink right now. You're not good enough. How do you not stink? How do you get out of it? And that is the challenge that I think Bill Belichick, Joe Judge face right now. And you have to wonder, is it a physical coaching challenge? You know, some little technique about plant foot or this or that? Or is it up here? And is that harder to deal with, to find out what the right way to build his confidence or, you know, build him up, tear him down, however you need to fix him mentally? To me, that's a harder scenario.
And I just wonder what, in Bill Belichick's mind, how many weeks he has it, you know, if this isn't fixed by X, I don't want to go into December or, you know, even further on into January having to worry about my kicker. And you wonder, if it doesn't get fixed, how many more misses would it be before he says, I need to bring somebody in to take a look?
And will that person be any better?
Right. Anybody who tuned after the Patriots to Sunday Night Football
can't
saw
be any
that,
worse,
you know, good kickers don't necessarily grow on trees.
Yeah.
There's a lot of missed kicks in the league right now. You have veterans that are all pros. You have second-round picks who were supposed to be the greatest kicker in the history of college football struggling. And then you have the middling guys that are just missing games in overtime to lose games.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. A whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T. Mobilizing your world.
This week's From the Heart, we focus on the defensive side of the football for a matchup with Tyrod Taylor. And that means run defense and pass rush come together in one. Tyrod Taylor, 6.6 yards per carry as a runner, 2 touchdowns as a runner. But as a thrower, he's pretty good too. 92 passer rating, 9 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. He makes good decisions when he throws the ball, makes good decisions when to run the ball. That means a controlled pass rush from the Patriots. You can't get upfield. You can't make lanes that he can run through. Stay under control on defense and control Tyrod Taylor and the Bills offense.
Patriots offense has been really, really solid again this season, especially since Tom Brady has come back. But one staple to that attack that I think has been lacking throughout the first part of the season is Julian Edelman. He still catches a lot of passes. He caught 9 on Sunday against Pittsburgh, but only averaged a little more than 6 yards per reception. That's not the kind of production the Patriots offense is predicated on. Tom Brady wants to throw the ball underneath and rely on Edelman to make guys miss, get some yards after the catch, and move the chains. He wasn't able to do that a lot on Sunday, and he hasn't been able to do it consistently this season. It's something you wonder about going forward. Is that foot really bothering him? Has he lost some of the elusiveness and explosiveness that he's had in the past? Something to keep an eye on moving forward.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
It's that time of year again, and it's Trash Talk time. We're going to talk about the trading deadline, November 1st in the National Football League. Patriots very active in trades over the last year plus. Paul Perillo, if they are active, you want them to target a...
At this point, I'm expecting them to be active, and I think offensive line has to be the number one area of concern. You look what happened on Sunday in Pittsburgh. The Steelers haven't been able to get any pressure on the passer. They never blitzed Tom Brady, and yet they got a significant amount of pressure on him. I think those guys have done an admirable job of holding it together. There's some youth there. There's some inexperience.
And they've made some moves. They always do. We know Belichick is always active at the trade deadline, and they brought in a linebacker. But to me, that's more of a depth kind of thing, the moves that they've made so far. I want to see some protection. I want to see some guys up front protecting Tom Brady. That's the biggest need.
Who are his cornerbacks?
Malcolm Butler. And Logan Ryan.
Usually you need three. You can barely name the third on this
Justin
team because it rotates week after week, right? And your Cyrus Jones, your top pick, is where? Inactive.
Inactive.
Healthy scratch, 2 weeks in a row. Justin Coleman, we thought was an ascending talent. Now is he? I don't even know. Jonathan Jones, Eric Rowe is the flavor of the week. I think you need more depth and talent at the cornerback position. Now, they already addressed it, obviously, with the Rowe trade earlier in the year. But even Bill said at the time he's more of a matchup player, and I think that's what he is. I know they tried to use him the entire game in Pittsburgh. I'd still like to see another corner brought in. I don't know if you can get a high-level talent like a Staley or a Thomas. Those are elite players.
Right.
I would take a warm body who could play at corner.
I don't know if there's an Aqib Talib out there like several years ago.
I'd take that in a heartbeat.
You know, obviously you'd take that. And this is I hate these kinds of trash talks that I have with you because I agree cornerback is you'll
so
find
I
a way.
Win.
You'll find a way to annoy me anyway.
So I win.
To me, the bigger one is the offensive line because I saw the damage that can do come playoff time. And I just don't want to see this season unravel, Andy, because Tom Brady doesn't have enough time.
I agree with you that I don't want to see this season unravel, but I worry that it could unravel because of that secondary. And I know there's not a lot of pass rush, and I don't see a lot of pass rush suddenly being a part of the picture. That means at some point you're going to have to cover. At some point there's not going to be a backup quarterback on the other side of the ball, or the starter's not going to get knocked out on the first drive, and things that have happened to them this year. I think at some point, hey, it may be the Steelers, right? It could be the Steelers a second time around with Big Ben running the show.
Absolutely.
And then you have to deal with all those weapons. I just think there is a lack of depth here, and it's a tough position. I'm not going to lie. It's a tough position, I think, to add midseason. We saw it took a month for Eric Rowe to get here. But I think when the rubber meets the road and you want that road to go through Houston in the Super Bowl, sometime you're going to have to stop somebody, whether it's Pittsburgh,
right,
whether it's the Bengals. You know, that's a team that can put up points through the air. We've seen big plays with A.J. Green. Whether it's the Raiders, my up-and-coming team, Amari Cooper, Carr, and those weapons. I think you are living life precariously thin in the defensive backfield. Ryan and Butler have stayed healthy for a year and a half. Can you count on that moving forward?
No. They're going to have
to.
But it's a patchwork situation that I've seen them be able to get by with in the past. They haven't always had great defenses. And right now, statistically,
well, the last time they won the Super Bowl, why'd they win the Super Bowl?
Because the defense was better.
Because they could cover, right? They could cover.
It wasn't number one.
They made
one.
An interception on the goal line. They could cover. They made plays in the passing
so
game. I remember from that Super Bowl
was... You have to make an interception. Well, the guy who made that interception is here, so maybe
yes,
he does it again.
But we need more people behind him. We need
why?
Reserves.
Just like he was a reserve. To make the interception.
No, you need somebody to cover all day. Remember Russell Wilson that day?
Yeah,
did he complete a pass in like the first half? No. He was bouncing around back there. He couldn't find anybody open. You cover, you win. It's a simple plan.
Did you miss
the
rest of the game?
You cover, you win.
Did you miss the rest of the game?
You cover, you win. I'm going to stick with this point. You cover, you win.
Okay, and if you can't protect your quarterback, you lose.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
The Arizona Cardinals and Seattle Seahawks played to a touchdownless 6-6 tie Sunday night, and all I heard was how awful it was. Granted, I was on a plane back from Pittsburgh and busy working, but I caught up after the fact, and I don't understand the disgust. two teams slugging it out, the home team dominating on paper, but the road team scrapping on defense with four sacks. Lots of penalties, but neither team turned the ball over. Block punt, block field goal, and then, when the game went into overtime, some truly bizarre missed field goals. Sounds like fun to me, unless you were the kickers. Oh, right, there weren't a lot of points scored. Forgive me for not caring about fantasy football. Much of the criticism I read on the Twitter machine was from media that covers the NFL. Maybe they were in a bad mood about having to stay up too late.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
This week we're joined by Patriots safety Patrick Chung, coming off a huge game, a huge performance all around for the defense in Pittsburgh. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the ways that you've been used this year. Very versatile. You've been around the line of scrimmage a lot. You're working on tight ends, running backs. That versatility is really something that you've always considered yourself a big strong suit.
I guess so. It's just the more you can do, the more, you know, coach can depend on you to put you in different roles, and the more you can be on the field. So, I mean, definitely versatility is a big thing in this league that people forget about, and, you know, just got to be able to, you know, play a lot of things. The more you can do, the longer you can play.
Now, I've been around long enough to know that you're not going to talk about how you might go about things next week, in Buffalo, but it would seem, on paper anyway, a similar kind of a back with LeSean McCoy and Gillis Lee and even Tyrod Taylor, who's going to, you know, use his legs to get out of the pocket. Again, a challenging kind of guy for you, when you're around the line of scrimmage. What kind of challenges do they present?
They got playmakers all over the field. I mean, starting from their quarterback, you said, like, they can extend plays to scramble or, run the ball or pass, and they have a elusive running back that can make a big play any time. So just got to get the guys to the ball and just play ball, man, full speed. Just get guys to the ball and gang tackle. I think we'll be all right.
Now, the first time around against Buffalo, obviously, things didn't go as well as you guys had planned. What do you remember about that game specifically, what they did offensively?
That game doesn't matter. We're going to play on Sunday, and it's a whole new game.
Some of the differences that way Coach Belichick said that, flat out he put it on himself the first time around. He felt like maybe they didn't accentuate the things that you do best and the different things that you do. Is there a specific thing, about the changes now that has, benefited you the most?
No, we're still working, man, and we're a team, so Bill can say what he wants to say. We did that as a team. We lost as a team. So we're going to go out there to Buffalo and just do what we got to do and, try to win as a team.
Well, I don't know about, the X's and O's. I'll tell you the biggest difference to me between the first time you were here. The number changed, 25 to 23. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Maybe that's what it is. I'll keep 23 for a while now.
Hey, before we let you go, what's up with your Ducks, man? Oregon, not having the best year.
Interview over.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's time to answer your questions here in PFW, and I guess this week there is no Wilson Hart Power Index because of some sort of production.
Yeah, data collection's been an issue this week. The mega computer is down. I could just throw it together like all the other indexes out there, but this is a legit index. We won't fake it.
It together and come up with the Bills at number two?
No, they would be down. They lost, obviously. Yeah.
Production was
didn't play
produce.
Well.
So, all right, let's get to the questions. The first one comes from Anthony. He says, I was wondering, when Deion Lewis gets back, how much of an impact he and James White will have on the offense?
Well, this was actually a hot topic this week on PFW in Progress, our radio show. Now, first of all, I think, are we sure he's coming back? Is it if or when? Or when is he going
to
be back?
To me, it's an if.
Okay. Well, when does he get back is one question. But then when he's back out there, I'm intrigued because I watched the video of his touchdown in Dallas from a year ago recently, and he was electric. And if you can add that to this offense, and we saw split backs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Split backs in Pittsburgh with Brandon Bolden. If you do split backs with White and Lewis, I think that challenges the defense. It's not the same as Gronk and Bennett, but it's another tandem where you have to pick and choose how you cover those guys. I think he's an electric offensive player. I'm intrigued to see what he can do, but I need to know he's back to full health
those
and not
split
just
back
a
things,
part of himself.
Freddie, Andy and I were talking about it during the summer, too, in preseason, because you saw them doing some of that stuff on the practice field. Now we've seen it a little bit in game action with Bolden, and I think if you can have Lewis and White, the explosiveness, the potential explosiveness is off the charts. Well, so absolutely.
Well, I agree, but I'm just not getting my hopes up for Deion Lewis.
If not, we'll put Devlin in the role.
Okay. Derek writes, and Jordan Richards and Cyrus Jones are healthy and sitting on the bench. So I question the trading down from the first round strategy. Most of the Patriots' first round picks become solid contributors. So why does Bill do this as often as he does?
Well, two parts. First, I would say I agree that it's disappointing with the second round picks. I think they've had too many guys, you know, the Tavon Wilsons of the world, and it looks like Jordan Richards might be falling into this, although it's still early. But the second part of it, I think, is a common thing that we always talk about with Bill Belichick. Why does he trade down when he never misses on the first round picks? I agree. He almost never misses on the first round pick. So when he doesn't choose to take one, can't we have enough faith in him to say that he didn't really like a guy there, that he didn't feel the guy that he would have taken in the first round was worth taking in the first round? So, you know, based on all of the other hits he's had in that spot, if he's going to move down, I like the idea of, if you don't love a player, let's move down and get some extra picks.
You've come a long way, Paul.
Why?
You used to be
from when I called him a very, very good drafter and got mocked and ridiculed by you?
You've come a long way.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I give the snarky answer?
Yeah.
Maybe he knows that's the hole in his swing, the second round, so he figures if I pick a bunch of them, some of them will be good. Gronk and Collins help balance out Richards and Jones.
I shouldn't have let you do that. Joyce writes in, hypothetically, if a team loses all six of its division games but still has the best overall record in the division, does that team win the division? Has that ever happened in the history of the NFL?
Paul's good at historical questions. He can handle this one.
I don't believe it's ever happened, but yes, you would win the division. If you had the best record, that's the only thing that matters.
Right.
So tiebreakers wouldn't come into consideration.
Yeah, you wouldn't do well in tiebreakers.
Yeah, if you tied with someone for the division, I'm guessing at 0-6 in the division, you'd lose that tiebreaker.
That would be fascinating.
Matter of fact, it's not a guess. I'm certain if you were 0-6 in the division, you'd lose the tiebreaker.
All right. All right, that's it for this week's questions. Every week, really send them to AskPFW@Patriots.com.